Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olsisi, serial entrepreneur, passionate marketer, and owner at Segway Group at Keller Williams Realty, Gainesville. On the podcast, you will find valuable information about all things real estate, plus some fun stories told by a variety of guests. So if you like what you hear, then subscribe and invite any friends who you think may get some value from listening. Welcome, everybody. I am super excited today because we have somebody from the West Coast. So basically the exact opposite of what we have here in Florida. We are talking to Blake Stargell. He is in LA, in West Hollywood. I wanted actually to have somebody from California for some time. And just because of the time difference, sometimes it's a little bit difficult. And I'm sure he's really busy too. So what I do think is super cool about him, and also something else that I've wanted to have for a long time, is an agent from Compass, because I think that that particular brokerage is really neat and what they've done and how they're really tech focused. So it's just got a really different feel than a lot of the other brokerages that we've had here on the show. Just a little bit of background from Blake. He's actually not from California originally. He's from Omaha, Nebraska, and has been in California now for about 4 years. And I'll let Blake tell you the rest about Blake. So without further ado, welcome, Blake. How are you?
I'm doing so good. Thanks for having me on, Anna. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Absolutely. So I gave you a very brief intro. And so what can you tell us about yourself in terms of just a quick background on you?
Yeah. Originally from Omaha, Nebraska. Been in LA about 4 years now. Moved out here just with the intent to get into real estate as fast as I could. I originally started with Berkshire Hathaway in Omaha. I was only there for about a year. I was on a team, kind of just learned the basics there, but knew that real estate was a long-term play and I really needed to get set up in a new city that I wanted to be in for the long term. So saved up as much as I could and moved out here a little over 4 years ago now.
That's really, really cool. That's very bold. And that's, you know, I always find it very gutsy when people come from a very different market at that, you know, and then move into a space that is completely foreign and yet, you know, start to make it, and that's admirable. So kudos to you.
Yeah, very different market. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So your background before real estate, you're from Nebraska. So what were you doing before?
Yeah, so I was just going to college there, basically. I was a sophomore when I started on the team with the Berkshire Hathaway team there, and just knew that college really wasn't the right fit for me. I didn't really have anything in mind. I didn't want to get in too much debt. My family's kind of in the real estate industry, more on the construction side. So just got connected with someone in Omaha, a great agent there. She brought me on. She taught me a lot, was a great mentor to me. So transferred from going to community college, basically, straight into real estate, and then kind of fell in love from there. And that was just, yeah, I was right out of high school. So
that's awesome. I'm glad you said that because so often we hear like, people, you have to go to college and college. And people do that. Mm-hmm. They feel like it's a duty, right? Like you have to go and then you have to get into bucket loads of debt. And in the real estate profession, you can do that right out of high school and make it really, really big. People that I, you know, work with here in Gainesville have definitely done that. And clearly you have as well. And it's the path. I mean, you can make a lot of money really, really fast if you really try, you know? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just the truth, you know, versus going to college, and which isn't for everybody. So, you know, I'm glad you said that just because.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, if you have something specific in mind, like you're wanting to be a doctor or a lawyer, obviously you have to have college. But I just think so many people now are floating and they're just like you said, they have an expectation from their parents and family that we must go to college. That's the only route. And it was a big leap for me. It's scary, you know, especially to jump into something that's commission based where you don't have a guaranteed salary and not know how it's really going to play out. But yeah, to anyone who's not interested in college, I don't think it should be maybe the first step right when you graduate high school. You know, there's time to explore between there. I think people are in a rush, especially now with social media. Everything's about getting to success as fast as you can. And sometimes there needs to be a little more time for exploration.
Without a doubt, definitely. Get to know yourself and then maybe real estate's for you and maybe a different path is for you, but at least you haven't wasted a bunch of money on college doing something that is useless, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah.
Yeah, Most people don't even use their degree, so.
Right, exactly, which you see all the time. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the LA market. What's going on there right now?
Oh, it couldn't be more hot. I mean, people are so surprised with COVID thinking that there'd be some type of downturn. But I just had a new listing go on yesterday in Silver Lake for 1549. I think I received 60 or 70 calls. I have 32 showings this weekend. And someone actually verbally offered over $200,000 over asking yesterday.
Wow.
All cash, 14-day close. So that kind of gives you an idea of just, I mean, it's crazy. And it's frustrating for buyers, obviously, because it's hard to win, especially between the $800,000 to like $1.2 million range. I mean, you'll see 30 offers on a home.
That's wild.
Which people are just so surprised by, especially during COVID.
Yes.
How's it there in Gainesville?
It is exactly the same. I mean, a different price point, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, Gainesville, Florida is not Miami, Florida. So our price point is more, actually, what I'm seeing is it's really difficult to get into price points that were not that difficult to get into a while ago because there wasn't a lot of demand. So really, if somebody is looking for something from the 400s to the 800s, the inventory is often not there. But it has to do with there's complete lack of inventory and the builders can't keep up. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, how much new construction are you seeing?
Quite a bit, a surprising amount. There's money everywhere, obviously, with interest rates being so low,
yeah.
Easy to borrow. So investors are out in full force. It's hard to get a deal, it's hard to get a flip. Just like you said, extremely low inventory as well throughout the whole LA market.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, you've moved there, didn't know anybody. You were new to real estate, or maybe you did know somebody, I don't know. And you were new to real estate and in a new brokerage, is that correct?
Yeah, so I moved here with a good friend of mine, but didn't know anybody. So just came here, found a place, didn't even see it in person, just leased it outside unseen. Got involved, just knew I wanted to be right in the real estate market. So got here, got a job at Whole Foods to at least sustain myself temporarily. Started taking my classes with California Real Estate Association, kind of a group here. And then immediately joined Keller Williams when I got my license. Oh. I joined the Hollywood Hills office, which is where I began. And then after a year and a half there, transferred to Compass.
Excellent.
Which for anyone getting their license, I think KW is such a great brokerage.
I agree.
There's so many learning tools for new agents. And
yeah, I mean, that's where I got my feet wet. That's how I learned the business. And it's a great intro brokerage. And not that it's not good in general, but it's definitely very, very good for new agents, without a doubt.
For sure.
What are some differences that you see now, you know, now that you're in Compass, which is, I think, a different vibe than Keller Williams or a lot of these other brokerages? How's it been?
Yeah, so actually, when I switched from Keller Williams, I went to Pacific Union, which is a very boutique small brokerage here. Mm-hmm. But that turned into Compass. Compass actually ended up buying out so many of these small brokerages in LA. So within 6 months of me joining Pacific Union, we transferred over to Compass. Yeah, it was kind of a stepping stone. I felt like Keller Williams was a great place to start. Pacific Union was, you know, a really small boutique brokerage with less than 100 agents. So it's a good environment to connect with people on a more personal level. It's a small office. You know, you get to know everyone. It was great to meet new agents and connect with new people. And then the jump to Compass is by far my favorite brokerage I've been in so far. With the technology, everything's just looking forward to the future, basically, and planning for the future. As we see so many changes in the real estate market with Zillow and Redfin and all these different companies jumping in.
Yeah.
I think your old school brokerage models are changing rapidly and they're trying to adapt. And I think Compass is doing a great job of being forward-thinking company and seeing how we can, you know, adapt to the changing market.
Indeed, for sure. Well, and I think that it's definitely probably appealing to that younger up-and-coming demographic of realtors like you, where you're so comfortable with technology that it's just second nature for you to be part, you know, of a brokerage like this, because you can integrate your technology know-how into your business.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't even use the MLS now, which wow. I actually don't mind because our MLS is just so old school, basically.
Really?
Still. So everything's just on the Compass platform. I can email directly from the Compass platform. I can send all my properties out. Everything's organized. I can see when a client's opened emails. I can see when a client's commented on property. I can see how many times they viewed a property, which has been quite an upgrade for me from what the MLS can provide.
That's fascinating. it's not like that here. It's very different. And we're still a little bit old school, which is fine. That's just the way we operate. We don't have Compass here anyway. So yeah.
It's working great for you. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. So tell me a little bit about, like, so you're big on social media. That's how we connected. And I'd like to know a little bit more about the types, like, do you get a lot of business from social media, or is it just a way to help promote your business?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. I think probably 50% of my clients come from social media in one way or another, which is pretty surprising. I do run promotional ads through there too, so that helps through Instagram, which I'm really trying to focus on Instagram recently. TikTok right now, I have the most followers on. I have 26,000 so far.
That's crazy.
I don't see that translating as much into actual sales just because, you know, it's a younger demographic, less likely to buy. Mm-hmm. But I guess for the long-term outlook, the hope would be that TikTok turns into like an Instagram, turns into a Facebook, and in the age range kind of shifts. And so if you already have a following on there, hopefully that will eventually turn into sales. But yeah, Instagram, I get quite a few leads from, as well as Facebook, but I'm mainly Instagram focused. I feel like there's so many different applications that you just get overwhelmed, you know, and you end up not, you know, sometimes it's better to focus on one or two and do the best you can on those than try to do TikTok, Clubhouse, Instagram,
right.
Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
There's so many.
Yeah. Yeah. And because you don't want to be diluted.
And I see you're very active on social media as well.
Yes.
Are you picking up?
I mean, I guess, you know, we've now sold of the houses that we profile or like, you know, that we show off, we've now sold a few of them. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And also just the local recognition. Yeah. With like Wine Wednesdays and all of that, people do really, they like that. There's that human connection that we make. Which is just very much my nature anyway. Mm-hmm. And so just that recognition is, you know, people are like talking to their friends and this and that. And yeah.
Yeah. You seem very personable. You have a great image on social media. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that. So tell me a little bit about what challenges you've experienced. I mean, you're as a younger new agent, do you have trouble convincing people to work with you, you know, and showing that you actually do know what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, especially the first 2 years here was a real grind. Being 23 in LA, you know, it's harder, especially in the higher price range, to pick up clients. So
right.
I was able to connect with a mentor, and I am actually on his team. It's just a partnership, kind of. It's me and one person else. But he serves as a great mentor and really was able to get my foot in the door, teach me a lot. But the first 2 years were kind of a real struggle picking up clients and building my brand. But the more educated you become, the more open houses you sit. It's all a numbers game to me.
Yeah.
As many people as you can meet, the better. So
yes.
Try to meet as many people every week and kind of go from there and grow your sphere.
Definitely. And which is, I'm sure, something that you learned when you were at KW at one point. And it's something that clearly has been reinforced at, you know, Compass or, and within your, I guess, your partnership, you know, with this other person, your mentorship with the person that you work with now. Because I'm assuming when you said team, it's not like a full on team, or how does it work? Is it just the two of you?
It's just, to the two of us. His name's Steve Sanders. He's been in the business about 25 years. So
wow.
I'm very grateful to have him. And I've been with him almost 2 years now. So yeah, but like I said, with KW was a real grind, just trying to get my foot in the door, go to as many networking events as I can, grow my sphere. And then once I got connected with Compass, I feel like the image of Compass is a little better as well. So it kind of upped my credibility a bit. And then as well as experience after 4 years in the business.
Yeah. And I get that for sure. You know, there's always some credibility that comes with the brokerage that you're affiliated with. And in different markets, different brokerages have mm-hmm. their images and what people, you know, people want to work with them or not, or people want to work with you or not, really depends sometimes on your affiliation. So I'm glad it's worked out for you, you know.
It's definitely more of you as a person, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. And of course, because if people don't like you and they don't trust you, then they're not going to do business with you. But like
exactly
what you've done in terms of continuing the grind and getting your face out there and meeting people and going to events. I mean, as much as we can do that nowadays, of course, it's everything. And I think that sometimes the veteran agents do tend to forget that that's something that you just keep doing. You shouldn't stop doing that.
Agreed.
Just because you know what you're doing at some point, you know? Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that in that sense, the agents who are younger or who have been in the business for a shorter amount of time. I'm not too far ahead of you in terms of, I've been in it for a little over 6 years.
Okay.
So it's, you know, we just tend to need to put ourselves out there a little bit more and never forget that you have to put yourself out there all the time in order to stay top of mind. So that's probably part of your success too.
Exactly. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and feeling like you have a lot of clients and you don't need to network, but networking's number one when it comes down to it.
Completely. Yeah. Well, that's in any sales type of career, and all the more so in real estate because it's so saturated. Like right now, I can't even imagine how many realtors there are in LA. I mean, what's it like in terms of competition?
Too many.
Yeah.
It's way oversaturated.
Yeah.
And I do think COVID has, you know, some people have dropped out because of COVID. Because as a newer agent, I feel like COVID made it more difficult because you don't have as many networking opportunities. Everything's more social and virtual based. So
Right. It's
hard to get your face out there as much and meet people in person. So,
yeah. Well, and what we've experienced here, which is really interesting because of COVID, because the market has continued to be so good and some people have been affected in their jobs from being furloughed or flat out fired because, not fired, you know, but like their place of business has closed. A lot of people have jumped on the real estate bandwagon and are working now or trying to work now in real estate. And I didn't know if you guys had seen something like that happen as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do see that. And I think it just really depends. Your success is going to depend on how many people you know at this point, unless you're really social media driven.
Mm-hmm.
So I do see that a bit. Newer agents, new people jumping on, just like you said, lost their job or looking for a new career change.
Yeah, exactly. So tell me, okay, so career change and all that, that kind of goes hand in hand with being new. So tell me about the deals that you've had. What was your first thing like in LA? Like, what's the first thing that you did in LA, if you remember?
My first deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me about a year to get my first deal here. So I was just so anxious and almost a mess. And I was just so worried that it wasn't going to go through. I mean, I was just sweating, couldn't sleep, you know, because it was just something I had been, just praying and hoping for so long. So yeah, my first deal was just full of anxiety. And actually, the listing agent ended up cussing me out at the end.
Oh.
He was horrific to work with, basically. He was on vacation in Hawaii and didn't want to be bothered. And when we went to move in and do the walkthrough, the sellers had left, I would say, a quarter of all the stuff.
Oh my gosh.
And so I actually had to pay to bring a dumpster to remove some of the stuff that
Wow. The
sellers left. So never heard from the agent after he cussed me out. They left their stuff, and you never know what you're going to get. So.
True. You don't.
But I'm grateful it went through.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. Of course. So, do you encounter a lot of that in LA? You know, like these agents who just don't care. I don't know if this guy has just been in the business so long that he doesn't care or is just not really a full-time kind of agent.
Yeah. I mean, I do run in that. There's like two types. You have the type that think they're so amazing and so good that they, you know, are so arrogant. They don't answer their phone. They don't care, you know, unless it's a humongous deal, like 10 million plus. But then you also do have like the agent that I was dealing with my first deal. He was just like half commercial, half residential. I think he had maybe done two or three deals. I looked him up on Zillow. So yeah, it's a mix of both. You do have a lot of great agents though,
Yeah. Especially
the ones who are really grinding hard and just trying to make a living.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly.
How about there?
Do we get nasty ones, you mean?
I'm sure.
No, I mean, look, I think that what happens here sometimes, I mean, and you're going to get nasty people everywhere in the world, of course, but Gainesville actually is really nice. Our nature is just to be really chill, nice people. It goes beyond the Southern hospitality because we have people here from all over the world. It's multicultural, international kind of city because of the university.
Yeah.
So, but I think, you know, when I was a new agent, I think what happened was that the veteran agents were testing to make sure that I knew what I was talking about or that I had a qualified buyer. They put you through, you know, the ringer just to make sure that you're worthy of actually doing business with. But once you prove yourself, it actually is great. I've actually, the people who put me through the worst at first have ended up being people that I like, I really like working with, and they like working with me because we've, you know, I've proven myself to them in the level, like the professionalism. And I think that that's part of it too. You know, there are a lot of agents who don't know what they're talking about, who do it part-time and they don't do a good job. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You know, it's a little bit of that too, but no, we don't have a lot of nasty people, like really at all. So we're lucky in that sense.
That's good. Yeah. And I definitely see that perspective. It's just because the bar to get your real estate license is so low. And I think that's really frustrating, especially for people who've been in the business 20 or 30 years, you know, dealing with someone who's so new. And there's such an oversaturation of new agents who haven't done a lot of deals. So chances are quite frequently you are going to run into newer agents who don't quite know what they're doing. And I just try to be as empathetic as I can, knowing that I've been in that same place.
Absolutely. That's the thing. You know, we quickly forget that we've been in those shoes. And so sometimes, I don't know about you, but I've actually guided some of the newer agents when they've had questions about a contract, like how do you, and because I'll find the mistake and I'll be like, hey, well, you know, you missed the spot. And so, yeah. And so, yeah, it's just to remember, you know, you've walked in those shoes, and any bit of help that you could have gotten would have been very helpful. So yeah. Let's not get too big.
For sure.
Too big of an ego. So, okay. So you told me about your first deal. So tell me about the uh-huh. biggest deal that you've done so far.
Yeah. The biggest deal was actually this past December I partnered with my mentor, Steve Sanders, and it was for 361 in Los Feliz.
Nice.
It was an amazing Spanish house.
Nice.
Like 6,400 square feet.
Wow.
4 beds, 6 bathrooms. It was a big achievement for me. And I was just grateful. I met the buyers, they're a friend of mine who are in the entertainment industry.
Uh-huh.
And it was a good feeling to finally cross the finish line.
That's very, very cool. Well, it's so funny when you said, so Los Feliz is what I want to say because I speak Spanish, but I watch Million Dollar Listing, which I'm sure everybody watches. And I think like Josh Altman does business there because I recall him saying that area.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Have you met any of these like guys or gals? I guess Tracy Tudor also is on the show. Have you run into any of those kinds of people?
I've met most of them.
That's cool.
Everybody from Josh Altman, his brother, just at mainly open houses that they have, Brokers Open, which are on Tuesdays here. I sat open houses for Josh Flagg as well as, what's his name? The Malibu guy.
Oh,
why can't I think of it?
Casey.
But yeah, anyways.
No, I know who you're talking about though.
Yeah, so just brief connections though, mainly, but most of them are super nice and really friendly.
That's awesome.
Surprisingly, sometimes.
Well, yes, it is. It is surprising. And I think, you know, ditto with the ones that we see like from New York City and all that, they do seem like pretty nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to see that the fame hasn't gotten, you know, to their heads, or maybe not too much to their heads. So a lot of those people haven't been in real estate for decades. Some of them have only been in real estate maybe a decade. So it does give the rest of us mm-hmm. hope that, especially in markets like LA, obviously, we're not probably going to have Million Dollar Listing Gainesville show. but still, you know, it's really,
you never know.
You know, well, yeah. I guess you never know, you know, but I feel
you're going
like
to be the star.
But I feel like most likely, you know, we can maybe have like $500,000 listing in Gainesville, because we have a lot of those. We just don't have a lot of the $1 million ones, not probably enough for a show. Well, actually, now we don't have enough for any show because there's no inventory. But, you know, clearly we are having issues trying to find houses for our TikToks. It's nuts. So that's something, you know, where I think it gives the newer agents some hope as to, you know, what they can expect to do if they really grind. And so I guess, you know, will we see you on the show one day? I think that's my big question.
I hope. I'd love to be. there's so many different shows now. I don't know if you watch Selling Sunset, Million Dollar Listing.
Oh, yeah.
Selling Impossible with the Aaron Kerman group out here now. So yeah, it would
Yeah.
be a, it's a dream
Yeah.
of mine, and I'd love to be on.
Yeah, Selling Sunset is awesome because it's like The Real Housewives mixed with like Million Dollar Listing. And so you get the whole drama.
Exactly.
You also get, you know, it's like good-looking people, cool houses, drama. It's like the best thing ever. You know, I think that it would be really fun to do that here, except we would never have the kind of cool oceanfront properties to show to make up for it. But it's really, it's, yeah, I love it. I'm clearly addicted to all these shows. It's terrible.
It makes for good reality TV.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, for sure. So okay, so we've touched on some things like deals and this and that. What has been your biggest challenge, other than getting obviously new business and all that, but what has been your biggest challenge in terms of real estate? What challenges have you been presented with?
Yeah, like we touched on a little bit earlier, low inventory has been a huge issue with me with my buyers right now. It's extremely frustrating when it's hard to win. I mean, you got to be ready to offer significantly over our listing price. That's a huge challenge for me right now. Again, networking, meeting new people with COVID has been a huge challenge for me. I used to sit 2 open houses every single weekend, picked up a lot of new clients from there. So that's completely gone.
Yeah.
Open houses are totally gone now. And it's been 9 months since we've been able to do one. So that's been a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then also just, I guess another challenge, which is also pushing me better, is learning how to get leads off social media through Instagram and Facebook and learning what works best. So
cool,
it took me a little while during the first part of COVID to kind of learn what's going to work best.
Well, I think everybody's just becoming so much more comfortable, not just in front of a camera because we have to for Zoom or whatever, but just comfortable with technology in general. And so that's definitely helping us in terms of as this keeps going, which hopefully will slow down or maybe stop soon. We've now entered that realm. And I'm not saying that, you know, for future pandemics, because God willing, there's not another one in the horizon. But when we have people who come from out of town and all that, we're going to be prepared to work with them remotely from the get-go. So do you work a lot of like relocation, people coming to LA?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, it's slowed down with COVID, obviously. Now you have more of a more people leaving than coming.
Yeah.
And I also want to ask, are open houses, what's the situation down there? Are things still open?
Yes. We are still allowed to have open houses.
Oh, lucky. Yeah,
well, you know, Florida is an interesting state. it's a little bit of a free-for-all, but we actually, you know, as long as you abide by the COVID, you know, CDC guidelines and we have COVID questionnaires and, you try to be careful. Personally, I have not had any open houses and haven't really sat, you know, in any. I didn't do that too much before COVID anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really like we've completely stopped doing it altogether since it started, just for safety precautions and stuff.
For sure.
But it hasn't hurt business, so that's nice, you know. And again, I think the inventory is so low that really sitting in an open house won't do too much to sell that particular house, because really by the time you announce an open house, the house is sold.
Sure.
I guess it could help still, you know, get new business, which is the goal, of course, you know, to a certain degree, not just selling a house, but getting other people who may want to list or buy. So yeah, so getting listings, that would be the main objective, I think, right now for people who are sitting open houses is just to get new listings because the inventory is so low.
For sure. What type of, if you don't mind answering, what type of lead generation activities do you do?
Well, you know, for me now at this stage, I've been lucky to have worked with like hundreds of people. And so a lot of these people are just coming back and either selling or they know people who are buying. I work a lot with, okay, so backtrack. I have been in Gainesville since 1998. I moved back here and have worked in the hospital, in the tech sector, publishing, event management. I had my own business for like 15 years. I've got a kid that went through school. So I know a lot of those people too. I mean, she's grown now, but like the point is I met a lot of people along the way. And so that really, I'd say, is the biggest way that I do lead gen, is just stay in touch with people, stay top of mind, have, when we can again, have lots of parties. My Wine Wednesdays, the reason I do Wine Wednesdays now, you know, on social media is because I used to do them in my house. And so I had parties here, you know, constantly. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that's it. You know, I think it's really the relationship building is everything. And if you're genuine, you will get repeat business and you will, those people will recommend you. It's just pretty simple.
Exactly. And I think that's the best type of business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously everyone wants to be referral based agents so they don't have to go door knock or making cold calls.
Right.
I'm still not at that point yet where I have enough of a flow of just referrals coming in. So I have to use different strategies such as open houses or cold calling or door knocking, which.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're also, first of all, younger, of course, but you move there from, you know, you haven't been in LA for a really long time. You also haven't had the opportunity to grow up there, basically, because when I moved back here, I was still in my 20s and stuff like that. So again, you know, I've grown up as an adult, I guess, spent most of my adult life here. And one day you will too, maybe in LA. And of course, then the competition isn't as much here as it is there. Although you'd be surprised, actually, there are a lot of agents here per, you know, capita or whatever. We do have a tremendous amount of agents out there. And the thing is, here's what's interesting here, is that because it's smaller, a lot of the agents have mutual acquaintances. So that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
You know, because we all kind of know the same people.
I'm sure.
And, yeah. And so it can get a little bit awkward, but you have to learn to not take that personally, to understand that somebody who knows you is going to know five other agents who are equally qualified and who would do just as good a job as I would. And these are people that I admire as fellow agents. So I can see why XYZ person I know has used someone else. And that's cool. Like I totally don't mind that, but it does, you know, it does pose that kind of like, you know, you have to keep grinding and hustling because you'd like to be that person that's chosen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can be a hard thing.
Yeah. I mean, it can be, I think that the same can be said about me, right? So like people that a bunch of other people know sometimes will choose me to be their agent. And we just can't have hard feelings amongst one another because we all get our chance, you know, for sure.
Exactly.
That's just how it is. That's just life. But I'd say in LA, it's probably like 100 times more difficult because you've got people like the Josh Flags and even the Tracy Tudors. They've grown up there and they know everybody. And they're just so connected that to infiltrate that market, I think, would be a little bit more, you know, more challenging.
It is, especially the very high-end listings.
Right, right.
Anything like 5 million or above is very, yeah. those bigger agents really have a lock on that
for
sector
sure.
of the market.
That's also based on trust and experience and reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the bigger agents have it, but you know, that's not to say that you one day can't have it as well. It's just especially because you're starting off at an early age where like you're going to have time to be able to build that reputation, you know, and get to good status, you know, like really high status, you know, with time. So so tell me, in terms of the market, I know right now it's definitely a seller's market, like almost everywhere else in the country. Or at least almost anywhere else that seems like paradise in the country. And so what are your predictions for this coming year? What do you think is going to just keep going like that?
I think so. From everything I've read and everything I've heard, I think it's going to stay strong through 2021. But again, time will tell. It's hard to predict the market.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, you know, as long as interest rates don't climb too high, I think things will stay steady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And in terms of...
How about you?
Yeah. I mean, oh, for us, yeah. I mean, the same thing exactly. Like I see the builders working really, really, really hard to build inventory, you know, but it's just so many people are relocating here, which luckily is the sphere that I work the most. But the thing is, they have nothing to buy, you know, when they get here. And then so as soon as they get here, they start snatching up that new construction. And so the builders,
yeah,
there's only so much that they can do. I mean, we have a shortage of labor. It's just a fact. So, I mean, if you want to, if you are in carpentry, any kind of masonry, if you just know how to build literally like anything or paint, come to Gainesville. Like, you will get a job here because there's no one. Everybody's taken, and builders are backed up so much that it's absolutely, you know, out of control.
So are you going to the office? Do you have a location? Pre-COVID, did you have an office that you normally go into, or were you working mainly from home?
Okay, so yes, we've had a bit of a transition in the last year, where not just COVID, but so there, we were three partners, one partner kind of like semi-retired. And so after March, we really weren't using the offices. We had two offices inside the KW building. And then my other partner and I, she and I split off into, I kept one team, she started her own. There was no animosity, actually. It was actually a really good thing. She just specializes in different things than I specialize in. So she kept one of the offices. So that's a really long story. So the point is, I work from home and the team meets here at my house, because it just, why have the overhead of an office when you can just easily meet at home? And I won't meet clients at the Keller Williams office anyway, because I want to make sure that everybody's as safe as possible. So as much as we can do, you know, via Google Meet, which is what I use, or even just meeting outdoors in a space that's much safer, in my opinion, that's a path we've been taking. So how about you?
Yeah, I used to go in the office every day. Now it's basically just occasionally. There's so many steps, it's not even worth it sometimes. You have to wear a mask the whole time. I have to sign a COVID form every time I step in the door, hand sanitized, and they really discourage going in right now. So I would say working from home 70% of the time.
Exactly. And as a business owner, I mean, I'm still a business owner, of course, but in my previous life, I had my own different kind of business and always had a home office, always worked from home. So personally, I'm not one of these people who even liked going into the office that much. I really preferred to have everything here at home. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I'm lucky enough to have enough space in my dining room, if nothing else, to meet with the team and have us still spread out, it's worked out just fine. It's almost been a blessing, really. You know.
Yeah.
I kinda,
it could be nice.
I like it. You know, so, but you have to have that discipline. And that's the thing that, again, that's where you either see a successful agent or an unsuccessful agent, is that discipline of, I get up at 5:30 in the morning. I get stuff done, you know, starting to work by 8, and then you grind all day. You've got your appointments, you do what you need to do, and you wrap up. Ideally, you wrap up by like 6:30. But the reality is, of course, we wrap up when our clients tell us to wrap up. Although I don't go past 10. I do say that. Mm-hmm. That's the expectation set.
That's a good schedule. And you obviously have, a ton of, you just have to be so on top of yourself.
Yes.
And be persistent.
Yeah. You just have to be disciplined, but that's anything.
The only thing I miss about the office environment is, I do like the energy of being around people in the office and everyone working. That's one part of it I miss, but it's convenient to be at home. It's convenient to just hop on the computer right and start work right whenever I want, instead of getting dressed, going to the office, check in, park, and everything. So it does save time.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, because we have a team, I mean, there are four of us. And so it's nice to every now and then be able to get together in person. And that's actually part of the fun of social media, when we do all of our videos and everything, is that we are together. And that at least gives us some camaraderie, some socializing that you do not in any way get on a video call. Like, we have Monday morning. On Monday mornings, every week we have team meetings on video, and it's not even close to the same. Not at all.
Yeah. Agreed.
Not to mention that they are much less attractive meetings, because none of us is wearing makeup and we really just don't care. And so four women don't care. Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. So what's in your near future? What do you have going on with your career and life?
Just keep pushing forward, hoping that this COVID ends and things will return back to normal as soon as possible. Basically, really social media focused recently. So producing more content on TikTok, one of my big goals this year is to create at least one video a week of me talking, either real estate related or just personal, and kind of just building my brand as much as I can through TikTok, through Instagram. And I'm going to try to break into the YouTube scene, still working on that. So yeah, just really social media focused this year and just trying to produce as much content as I can.
Well, I have no doubt that you're going to be able to be very successful on social media because you've already been very successful. And so it can only go up from there. And you have the advantage of having probably, you said, you know, you do get a young audience, for example, on TikTok, but those people in 5 to 10 years, they're going to be buying houses. And there you are. You've been in their face. They know you. You've built that rapport. And I have no doubt that you're going to be able to get business, especially in LA. You know, I would think that people are really comfortable with that. So that's really cool.
I appreciate it. Are you on Clubhouse?
I was invited and I haven't been on it yet. I don't know. I think really, really, it's just lack of time. Like my bandwidth, I can only do so much.
For sure.
And my entire team will attest to the fact that sometimes I forget to answer emails and texts and I'm totally scattered at times because when you're juggling, like, you know, 8 clients and all these transactions that are under contract and trying to do your social media, which is so much harder than everybody thinks. You know, that's that's the other thing is that everybody's like, oh, it's so fun. You get to do videos. Oh my gosh, it's great. And you're always out there and have, you know, in the park or whatever. I'm like, let me tell you, that requires a lot more preparation than anybody might imagine. And it really is about scheduling and finding places to shoot and doing stuff like that. You know, it's very, very time consuming. But anyway, so no.
Yeah, there's only so many hours in the day.
Yeah, for sure. And so are you on Clubhouse?
I am. I just joined it. I like it. It's kind of addicting. You can meet so many interesting people that would be harder to connect with on Instagram or TikTok. Just the connections that you're able to meet on there, it's really unique. So if you have time, maybe try it out.
I will. I mean, it's, you know, at some point, maybe I can just do it while I'm walking the dog or something like that. I don't know.
There you go.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely. Well, Blake, I would love to have you on the show again, maybe in a year or something, just to see how far you've come, what the market has done in LA, and just to hear about your success, because I'm sure that you're going to have plenty of it in the coming year since you've been so successful up to now.
Well, thank you very much. I would love to be back on, and I'm very grateful you invited me on. So.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. It was an absolute pleasure. I always love to talk to agents from other markets, and I definitely like to talk to the agents who have started their careers a little bit before a lot of other realtors, just to see the energy, the enthusiasm, the grind, and the success. It's really neat, and kudos to you. Man, by the time you're in your 40s, you're going to be like a billionaire. So good for you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And congrats on all your success. Wow.
Oh, thank you. We do what we can, for sure. Well, great. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening this week. It's been really fun to have Blake on, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I look forward to doing another podcast next week and telling you a little bit more about the real estate market. So have a good one, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!